Last week I shared with you about I left you in 1975 when I became a Christian. In my life I call them alterations. An alteration is a modification. It means to become different. It's a major change. We call it going through changes. But alterations, the word alter means to make a difference or to make different without changing into something else. It is called a transmutation, to change and alter or form. Paul the Apostle went through a transmutation. He went through changes. The man in Mark chapter 5, a demonic man, when he met Jesus Christ, he also went through changes. It altered his life so dramatically. My first alteration, as I shared with you, my first modification of character was in 1970 when I joined the Marine Corps. It changed me, it altered me for the rest of my life. My second alteration, the most major one, is when I met Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior in 1975 in Costa Mesa Calvary Chapel. The third alteration, 1976, Millie asked me to marry her, and I did. She fell in love, and so I accommodated her. Who wouldn't, you know what I mean? But in all reality, it was a mutual enhancement. My only regret is that I did not get on my knee. I didn't ask her. I didn't even ask her parents for her hand. I just told her, I'm going to marry her. Just like that. That's my only regret. I wish I could have done something. I wish I could have been romantic. I could have took her to the drive-in or something. You know what I mean? I didn't do that. And that's my regret. We were just driving and on the freeway. Says, hey, you want to marry me? Yeah, don't cry. He said, yes or no? Yeah, all right. So let's plan it. And that's just the way it was. That's a big regret that I have. I wish I would have been more romantic. Then my fourth alteration was when I became a father and Millie became a mom. First time parents of twin girls. And again, God's grace. And then my fifth alteration, in 1984, I had an awakening, a personal inner revival. It was a spiritual awakening. I had been a Christian since 1975. And it took 9 years for me to go to a men's conference in San Diego where I was filled with the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was a new person. I was a Christian, but it revitalized me. It reawakened me. And I understand what Paul says when he says to the Ephesians, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I understand that scripture. There's another scripture in 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. I had already been a Christian, and there Paul says to the Christians, awake, awake. Do you know that you can be a Christian and be asleep? And I heard the voice of God. I was just changed that night. It was a revival. And then something happened where I began to immerse myself in the things of God. And then my sixth alteration, I thought it would be alteration barring a disaster or a crisis, it would be being a grandfather, but it was not to be. In 1991, February the 1st, I was ordained as a pastor. We didn't even have a church yet. And so in 1992, I was told that I was already a pastor. I said, what do you mean? Yeah, we ordained you last year. Why? Because we knew you were going to be a pastor. Oh, don't say that. You see, in 1992, Roel gave us a right hand of fellowship from Costa Mesa, July the 12th, and that was my sixth alteration. So in 1, 2, 3, and 4 capsules, let me share with you, from May 1975 to 1979, I call this segment a second chance. In 1975, I became a Christian at Costa Mesa Calvary Chapel. My wife, my girlfriend, and I would commute from East LA all the way down to Costa Mesa. And so after becoming a Christian, I was reading, I was praying, I had fellowship, I was trying to understand this process of sanctification. But later on, we found a small local denominational church in East Los Angeles. It's close by, very close by. And Millie and I started going there. We compromised. Okay, we both will go there. And so we didn't know it was a denominational church, but that's where my Christian education began. And I appreciate for everything that was done there for me at that church. It was wonderful for a new beginner. That's where I learned to appreciate the Christian hymns that we sang this morning, the legacy of that church that left hymns in my heart. But after 5 years, there were some changes in that particular church. In that church, I was to experience my third alteration. I asked Millie to marry me November 6, 1976. And then from 1977 to 79, I became involved with that church in ushering, home fellowships, church training, Christmas and Easter plays, sound, home visitations. I loved it. And it was right there and then, during this year, that I knew that I had a calling to serve. Listen to what I'm saying. A calling to serve, not a calling to be a pastor, to be a teacher. I had a calling to serve. I had been serving ever since then. I have not stopped. Serve the body of Christ in whatever capacity. I knew that I had a calling. And then I had a great desire during that year also to learn how to read English. But I didn't know how to read. Yes, I read, but I had no retention, no continuity, no comprehension of what I was reading. Have you ever done that? You read one chapter, by the time you get the second chapter, like, what did I read? So I didn't even know. So I asked the Lord, if you teach me how to read, I'll serve you. Oh, don't ever make a deal like that. You're not serious. I mean, I can see God. Is that all you want to do? Just read English? We have an easy one here, guys. Yes. He doesn't want riches. He just wants to learn English. So God says, go for it. And he gave me a great desire to go back to school. I begin to read book after 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 book. I couldn't stop. And I learned how to read proficiently. It was an amazing thing that I was able to graduate from East LA College in 1980 with an AA. It took me 5 years going to night school because my counselor gave me the wrong classes and I went for 2 years for nothing. I think that's where we got the, hey, hey, you got your AAA? Yeah, I got my AA. So this is my only time there at that church in 1978 where I backslid. I backslid for a day and a half. That's all I can take. That's my only time I've experienced backsliding. A day and a half. I won't tell you all the sorted things I did. Yeah, they were not sorted, but they were not proper. I just went and got high and took a couple of joints left and right. And only because a friend of mine who was a backsliding Christian called me up. I tell you, Satan knows when to get you, man. How did he know that Millie was not home? How did he know that Millie would not return? Because she was in the mountaintop worshiping God and going to a choir retreat. How did he know I was alone when he called me? Hey, dude, what's happening, man? What's happening, man? Bam, bada bing, boom, hey, boom. Yes, let's go, man. You know, I'm tired of this Christianity stuff. But I wasn't tired of Christianity. I was tired of churchianity. It's a big difference. So by 1979, I was burned out on Christianity. By 1979, Millie was pregnant. And she was so big. I mean, she's so big, she couldn't even see the color of her shoes, man. She when they would weigh Millie, they have to weigh her backwards, man. Because she was so big. I'm telling the truth. So the doctor said, you know, because of your twins, we have to put you on bed rest. But because we had an excuse to stay home, we would stay home. Well, she couldn't go anywhere. And someone told me there was a Calvary Chapel someplace in West Covina by a guy who has an accent. So I said, okay. So I went by myself trying to check things out. And I walked in there. Oh, the music, the excitement, the joy. There were weird people. There were homeboys. There were surfers. There were stoners. Well, all ex, okay? Ex-stoners. They were all kinds of people, nice, and they were all friendly and smiling. Only the parking was bad. The driving, it was chaotic. And so, but I liked it. I went home. Millie was pregnant. She goes, how was church? And she saw the excitement. She saw the joy. She saw the vibrancy. She saw what I was missing. I said, I love it. I love it. I love it, man. This guy, and he has no accent. I don't know what anybody says. He has no accent. I enjoy what he's saying. We were in the book of Ephesians in 1979, October of 79. We were in the book of Ephesians, and he will go scripture by scripture. Oh, he will teach chapter by chapter. Oh, and then he will let us know what chapter he was going to study the next week. I couldn't believe that. So I started attending services. I attended West Covina Calvary Chapel Sunday evenings. And then
In 1980, we became parents of twin girls. In 1980, we moved permanently to West Covina, Calvary Chapel on May 1980. And then in 1981, I went to my first ever men's retreat in Twin Peaks, California. There, I met a couple of guys from East LA that we used to play in the East LA Battle of the Bands. And we went there, we saw them. There were people from Ace Trucking Company, from the Righteous Rhythms, and all kinds of people that I knew. And we formulated a group called Golgotha there in 1981. And I joined this Christian group, Golgotha, till 1985. And then 1982, Millie told you about losing our home. We had a financial disaster. We have an economic disarray and hardship. So we lost our home by choice. We moved to an apartment complex, as I shared that with you, but it was near Calvary Chapel, West Covina. It was in the corner of almost in the borderline between Covina and Baldwin Park. And there we were hit, and our apartment was broken in so many times that I even put a note, don't break the door down, it's open. There's the pillowcase by the floor, pick that up. We don't have a frozen turkey anymore. But it was during that time, as Millie said, that we learned our lesson. Alexander Lavender was born in 1984. In 1984, I went to the men's conference I was telling you about, and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. From May 1985 to 1989, I call that the new beginning. In 1985, we moved down and leased a home with an option to buy in the city of La Puente. So we moved from going on up from Baldwin Park to La Puente. La Puente was good for us. But I have never seen so much celebration with Uzis on New Year's Day as I have had in that day. I've never heard that kind of celebration. We missed it. When we moved away from La Puente, our New Year's Eve at our new home was dull, was duddy. Only one lady with a pan went out there. Bing, bing, bing. And I told Millie, I miss the Uzis. I miss the AK-47s, the AR-15s. I miss those. La Puente was good for us. And so as we moved to La Puente, we're able to rent this home with an option to buy. It was lease. We bought it later on, and we made a lot of money out of it. We couldn't believe it. We got out of debt with that. I bought a used van. It was just wonderful. We started the Mexican orphanage ministry. And then I went to Bible school, pastoral school. And I was involved in church involvement, children's camp, children's ministry, head usher, parking lot, Mexico, and concert ministry overseer. And all these things were happening as I saw myself involved. In 1986, I was asked to consider a permanent position as a pastor at Calvary Chapel, West Covina, and I declined. I was not ready. I was a county worker, and I thought if I can do my 20 years as a county employee, that I can retire and get into the ministry on my own. And that was my plan. I had been I had been working there for fourteen years. I was waiting for my one more year to get my pin, 15-year pin. And if you don't understand the LA County and the culture, once you work 15 years and you're in the union, they can't fire you, man. You know what I mean? You're in like Flint, man. And so that was my job. That's what I liked. I wanted to add my military experience, my military service, combined with my work, and perhaps retire early and look for another job, because I still was young enough to have two pensions, and that's my idea. But it was not to be, because from 1985 to 1989, as I shared with you, I began to be a leader in a home fellowship. And then in 1990 to 1991, I call this the calling. A home fellowship right here in California Street started right here by Crazy Cone. We were going there in this house that belonged to a lady that comes here, Vivian. It belonged to her. And so we were going Fridays every night for the whole year and then another year. And then I thought, the Lord is calling me, but I don't know where. And so I thought I was given a wonderful job. I won't tell you the name of the cemetery, but it's someplace in Glendora. They call me and they say, listen, we have a job for you. I know you're a pastor and you speak Spanish, and we're looking for a grief counselor. And so if you would like to come in, I said, sure. It's right here in Glendora. you know, my BMW, although it sounds good, you have to picture this BMW. It does not look like a BMW, all right? It looks like a high-fashion Datsun in a junkyard. So it's not what you think. And so I said, okay, it's home, no freeway. I can go to Glendora. And so they told me, back then, it says you can start off at $48,000 with the possibility of making $110,000 a year. And he says, it's just the nature of our business. That's all it is. So I thought, okay. So I went for the interview, and sure enough, it sounds good. Do you own a couple of suits? I said, I only have one suit. We'll buy another one. It's okay. It was strenuous for me to buy another suit. And I just went off the rack. I think I got it at Marshall's. You know, just went and got it. And that was it. And so I went to work in the county, and I said, sayonara, I'm leaving. And they were saying, Ponch, are you kidding? If you quit, you can't get hired. They have a freeze right now in the county. They won't even reinstate you. And I said, I don't need to, man. This is what I want to do. Well, I went to this place, and I realized as they put me in a boiler room. You know what a boiler room is? Where they have a bunch of bank phones. And all of a sudden, I begin to see, this is not being a grief counselor. You should sit down and watch these tapes. How you can convince, 101 ways to convince people they say no when you're offering cemetery plots. And I thought, and I don't believe everybody's like that, okay? This is just this particular cemetery. And I said, I made a great mistake. I don't want to be here. This is not what I was called to do. I was called to help people in their grief. They want me to make money. They want me to cheat. They want me to lie. They want me to connive. This is not what it is. And so when they came and got me, I was after watching like 5 videos. They said, okay, you can go to lunch. I got in my car, went out to lunch in the Big Sky, never came back. Just took off from lunch and never went back. Never called them up, never told them anything. But I got on the phone, I got off right there, off Alasta, and I just got on the phone and I called Millie and I began to cry. I have never been out of a job in my life. Never, never. First time in my life that I'm ever out of a job since the age of 10 years old, 11 years old. I have never been without a job. And I'm there, she's pregnant with Sebastian, my only son. She's pregnant, I know it's gonna be a C-section. I have no job, I can't go back. And I begin to weep and I apologize to her. So I work briefly for everybody. I clean garages, I cut trees, I whatever it took just to make ends meet. And I work briefly for an independent employer, but after watching his methods of work and his ethics, I was disillusioned and crestfallen, and I quit on ethics and principle convictions, and I just left. I had no job. I said, Lord, what do I do? Azusa Pacific called me, and they says, listen, we want to hire you. And I said, sure. You know, I'm thinking, you know, interpreter, you know, maybe reading books and whatever. No, we want you to work at food services. Food services, you mean like flipping hamburgers? Yeah. And he said, we have insurance, we have Blue Cross, and if you do get hired immediately, you and your family, that was all he had to say, because Millie had seen her doctor for the last time under our old insurance. When I heard that, I didn't even ask how much. I said, absolutely, I'll go to work. What do you want me to do? School starting in September, coming August, and we'll train you. What do you train? Oh, how to change the syrup for the Coke machine? And I was very cynical, but I went to work there. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm working at Azusa Pacific University, and we're growing. We're meeting now from the house. We moved to Taylor Ranch on Friday nights, then to Wednesday nights. The ranch was very good to us. We exploded into almost 200 people of that summer of 1991. In the 1991, Sebastian was born. My only son, the only son we have. And he was born in January 16. And January 16, we had gone to war in Iraq. They were bombing Iraq for the first time when Sebastian was coming out of the womb. Everybody was looking at the bombing while my son was being born. And so Sebastian was born. And I remember being at the hospital, and we had a study on that Friday. And so I wasn't able to be there. But Sebastian was born as we were ministering in Shure High School. And then a year later, in July 12, 1992, Sunday service commenced. And that was my sixth alteration, being a pastor. We met at Shure High School Auditorium. Pastor Roy Reese came and gave us a right hand of fellowship. Our congregation consisted of about 200, 250 people. In 1995, we came here to rent this facility. In 1997, we bought it. And then from 1997, you know, we're here and we're growing. But I want you to know that almost for 6 months, I did not receive any kind of money from this ministry. Not because I didn't want it. We didn't have anything. In 6 months, it was what, just nickel and diming it. As long as I paid for my medical insurance, that's all I was concerned. And the mortgage payment, that's all I was concerned. There were times when we wake up in the mornings and there will be some sausage in our porch. There will be some fruits and some vegetables, and that was our life. The BMW, that's all we had, because we couldn't afford anything else at that time. So for almost 6 months, I did not receive pay. It wasn't until the 6 month that I began to get a $500 stipend a month. And so, and then 600, and then they were able. But for almost 90, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, it wasn't until 1998 where the board was able to decide that, listen, these are your needs. And you've been sacrificing yourself for this last years and so forth. It was just very, very awkward for me to take money from the ministry. But it's something that the board gave it to me after all this hardship. And we're here for the long run. I tell our staff, I don't know if you're going through and passing through Montebello Calvary Chapel, but I've come home. This is my home. This is where I'm going to die. This is my home. I'm not going anywhere. This is it. I have met my destiny. I have met my end. This is it right here, all the way. There's a calling in our lives, and we're here to serve the body of Christ, thick or thin, and whatever it comes. We just want to thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for being patient as I'm away with my wife for almost a year and a half in the treatment and the chemo and everything else. I thank you for generosity. I thank you that you have never allowed this pastor to go behind the pulpit and come out saying, we need your money, we can't do it. You have not allowed to do that. And I thank you so, so much for doing what you're doing. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you.